You're getting fuzzy, Peter.
You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Oh, dude, we did PPUs the last time.
Did you say that's cool?
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot how to pew. It's been so long.
You got the best kind of pew.
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 Welcome into episode 277 of B-Movies and Beyond with your
Basement
hosts.
Edition.
Basement Edition with your hosts, Peter and
Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Peter. I was doing Ryan.
And now you're changing the cameras?
just for that dramatic moment.
Just so everyone can see what you're doing with your hands.
Yeah, you know how dramatic I am.
You're very dramatic, especially on this podcast. So it's a good thing everyone can go to YouTube and see this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last couple episodes, you can just watch the whole thing on YouTube. You know, jump around to your favorite parts.
Yeah, because we don't feel like fucking editing.
Damn straight. I'm busy.
Busy.
Babies require a lot of attention.
For at least 18 years.
At least 18 years. Yes.
At least.
Oh, man, I'm going to be very busy. Oh.
You're going to be all old and you're going to be having gray hair and beard. You got a little bit over there, Peter.
It is getting very salty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see you pointing at it. I think I know exactly what you're pointing at.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. But we got a great episode for you guys. I'm back. That's why it's great. Enough said.
And I'm always here.
That's right. Ryan's been holding down the
even greater
podcast. My notes aren't ready, but what I'm really excited about, Ryan, is for your review. Which, what are you reviewing? Let's give a little spoiler so people know how to stick around.
Did you need to stick around because I made the effort to go to a movie theater and watch that one movie we've been talking about for a while. What was it called? The Life Aquatic of Steve? No. Everything is always something's around.
Everything is awesome?
Everything is awesome. This one is awesome. It is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, starring the great and podcast favorite, Nicholas
Pascal.
Pedro Pascal, favorite space Mexican.
He is. He always has been.
He is. That's true. And later, I'll just tell
you. Who's your favorite vampire's kiss?
Nicolas Cage.
That's right. Damn straight.
Not Jared Leto.
Well, I can't wait for that. And I'm also excited. We got some second opinions from some previous reviews of X and The Bubble. So it's going to be fun to see what you think of your movie. And I want to shoot down your review of the X.
Oh, really?
Some of it. Okay.
Was it?
We might be fighting later.
I like it. I'm not even going to ask you now because I'm ready for this. You're edging me right now, Peter, and it's just
that's right. You got. I'm getting you excited for the end of the episode too.
I know. Well, Peter, let's just get head first right into this episode and what we got. Our favorite segment.
What?
They're always our favorite segments.
Why? I have so many questions.
Yeah, questions again.
I totally forgot this cycle.
Yeah. I'm excited for this question, and I can. This came from my lovely wife. She gave me this question, so okay. I can actually probably say that she put in more work on this episode than I did.
Hell yeah!
Yeah,
lovely wife.
Uh huh. And she shot me this over, and she says it was a little screenshot of. What's the most rewatchable movie? So, and I think this is I mean, this is to your, you know, your person, like each person, you know, your character, right? Because, you know, the one thing that you find most rewatchable is probably not what I'm going to find most rewatchable. So, I like this question.
I do like this question because I do watch a lot of the same movies.
But you also rewatched a lot of them because you're trying to get through them.
Oh, yeah. I see the difference in what you're saying. Is like, I watch movies multiple times because I don't finish them, like Uncharted. I had to watch that 3 times.
So is that out, by the way, on VOD?
I went to the movie theater for it.
Oh, and you had to watch it.
I see. I paid 3 times for that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
Money. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they get you. Especially for you, because you'll fall asleep through it or get distracted, and you always come back. You'll give them more money.
Dude, I don't know why I don't have a Stubbs card tied into my Fandango and or the Alamo. Have you seen Alamo Drafthouse monthly subscription?
I've heard about it.
$20 a month, unlimited movies.
Is that really true? I thought it was more like one or something a week or something like that. Is that wrong? Or maybe I'm thinking of AMC, because AMC did something too, right? Like they're AMC all trying to... Yeah, they're making their subscription thing. They're trying to be like the Movie Pass. So I don't know. I like that, but I'm not quite to the point where I'm able to have as much free time to go to the movies, you know, enough to warrant a subscription to a movie theater.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll take your Stubbs card.
It's expired. Sorry.
I'll take your Movie Pass subscription.
Oh yeah, that's still good. I'm still paying for that.
Okay. Back to your question. Back to your wife's question.
My wife's question.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. What is the most rewatchable movie? Oh, man, I like this. I'm going to most rewatchable movie. Me? It's Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
And I say that because it's the best one. I can always watch Star Wars. And I could say, it's the most general one that I can think about would appeal to the masses. Like, if that's the most rewatchable movie, like, anybody could sit back and watch Empire. I mean, A New Hope probably would, like, the general public would love A New Hope answer over Empire, but Empire's a better movie. If you want my real opinion, I would say TMNT Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze too.
Well, see, that's... I was thinking about Ninja Turtles. Because when I think about the most rewatchable movie, I mean, this is a movie where you, like, you have no problem sitting through it. And like, I think the other part about this is it's not so much you just have it on the background. Like, I actually think that you actually watch it. You know, you sit down and enjoy it. Sure. Compared to, you know, there's a lot of movies that I enjoy. And I often just kind of like, hey, this is fun. I just put it in the background and I do other things. But a rewatchable movie to me is the one where I'm actually like, I've seen it numerous times, and yet I'm still motivated. It still captivates me to just sit there and watch it. No phones, nothing like that. And I can think of a handful of movies. I actually got a handful, but the one that I always like to bring up that for me is Empire Records. Like, that's just one. I don't know why. And it's weird for me too, because it's like, I don't know why it stands out so much. I mean, it's just, I think it's just a fantastic story. I love the interactions with all the different characters, and I think it's pretty funny. And it's, you know, there's a little bit of everything, I think, in that film. And that's the one for me where I, like, every time I put it on, I just sit there and I laugh, I cry, I sit through the whole thing with, and I'm captivated by it the whole time. So that's, I'm going to say that's my number one pick. I could probably list off a handful more that, you know, I talk about a lot, but that's the one I'm going to go with.
Empire Records, huh?
Mm-hmm.
See, what's funny is in our notes, I put Empire and then TMNT Secret Views. And then on yours was Empire Records and TMNT. Like, I think we should do a podcast together because we very much think alike.
I agree. We do think a lot alike. From what I just said, is that how you feel like when you watch like Empire Strikes Back, like that's the, like you're that invested in it every single time you watch it?
Yeah.
You seem hesitant.
Well, it's Star Wars, so it's like one of those things where I can always just sit back and watch Star Wars. And see, that's one I can always watch.
Okay. Like for me, like, see, I mean, as much as I like Empire, but it's a great movie, but I probably enjoy Return of the Jedi more just because.
Okay, I see your point in this one. Like, Star Wars is very ambiguous because everybody has their Star Wars movie that they watch.
Yeah.
Versus, like, if I said Star Wars in general, then you're getting Star Wars in general, not a specific one. Yeah. You generalize Ninja Turtles, and I can actually agree with you on that. I could watch 1, 2, and 3 all at the same, or just in a sit-down session for sure.
Yeah, but, and you're, like, see, that's what I said. Like, probably the first Ninja Turtles, that's up there. Like, I sit down and I actually watch the movie, you know? I re-watch it. It's not just having something in the background. You know, Ghostbusters is probably another one for me that I do. So I don't know, but Empire Records for me is that's the one that has. I think it just hits all the marks for me. So,
dude, that's such an oddball movie to pick. Like I didn't expect.
I know that. Exactly. That's why I went with it because it's really high up there for me, and now I kind of want to go watch it again. So
should we end the episode and go watch Empire Records?
Yeah, let's just take a time out and yeah, it's short. Perfect.
Peace out. See you next week.
Beyond it up.
Beyond it up. Good question, Danny. Good question.
Yeah. Good job, yeah. Babe.
Yeah. So Ninja Turtles. Even the 2007 one. That one's awesome.
I know. That one's fun to watch too. But some of them I do, maybe I get distracted, you know? I think that's the whole thing is it's ones that I don't get distracted by.
So, you know what's distracting me? Is how long and narrow your face is. Meanwhile, mine's kind of like short and chubby without a beard. I think I need to grow my beard a little bit longer so it narrows out.
Yes. Yes, you do.
You like that. That's a good idea.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies and Beyond.
That was a great segue.
You like that? You like how it just moved on?
Yep. Done with beard talk and my face.
That was for you, Peter. That's just.
Thank you.
My goal, and it's been difficult these past couple weeks, is to throw you off guard, and I feel like I was able to accomplish that. So,
yeah, that's just something that I would do to like we're moving on and click the button. You can't say anything, you know? No, nope, like oh, click the button, we're done.
Button's done. Sorry.
Yep. We got a whole bunch of trailers, but the one I really want to talk about, is Bodies.
Bodies. Who? Tell me more why you want to see this. Bodies.
Well, so from all the trailers that we watch this right before this episode, Like, this is the one that just, it stood out, you know? There was something special about it, and it's also a horror film, which, you know, I love those horror films. But I like how stylized it was, and, mm-hmm. and the whole premise is, like, these group of friends get together, and they play this game where, basically, if you get, like, the X card or something, you're the killer, and then things start spinning out of control where people start dying through this. And I love the dynamics between all the different various characters. And you get that right from the trailer, just how much, like, it's going to be a very, maybe tongue in cheek type movie, you know, with their roles and being like these, young college students.
Kind of like Scream.
Yeah. A little bit like that. But or a little like bit more stylized, I would say.
So, like, the babysitter meets Scream.
Yeah, it is kind of like that, because it's a whodunit. They don't know who's killing who. Yeah.
I like that. And it has a good style. Like, the babysitter had a really good style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really fun, entertaining style, which it just looks like you're in for a fun ride. And because it's a whodunit, and there's probably gonna be tons of twists and turns, the trailer does not give away a lot. So it sets up the premise. Yeah, it sets up the premise. You get this the vibe of the film, and now I'm ready to watch it whenever it comes out, which I have no idea when it comes out.
Did Peter, I will tell you 100%. Like, this is the only trailer I need right now for this movie, and I'm good.
Exactly.
Don't send me any more. Don't tell me any more. Let me watch it.
Yeah.
You're doing
August 5th is when it's supposed to come out. So we got a little bit of
gosh, we have so much time. They're going to release like four more trailers.
They potentially could, but this is also it's A24, that's the company, the production company, and it's the same people that did X. So they don't do too many trailers, you know. They're kind of like one and done, I feel like. They're not like Marvel where you got fucking 2,100 different, you know, MCU and trailers for Doctor Strange 2.
And TV trailers for each station. So you watch like a trailer on different stations. You're like, what? Why am I watching USA right now?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, I stopped watching like the Doctor Strange trailers because there's just too many. And they're pretty much all the same shit. They just, you know, add like one little piece of dialogue and that's it. It's not enough for me to watch it.
Yeah, and I don't want to know
exactly
about this. Like, I want to just kind of watch the movie next week.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's coming out next week.
Dude, time's flying by.
Tell me about it.
All right, Peter, I gave you a list of trailers and you're picking them out. What one's the next one?
Oh, my next one.
Yeah.
Let's just go cryo.
Cryo.
Yeah, cryo.
Cryo was short and sweet. Another good to the point. And it kind of has a whodunit kind of feel as well.
Mm-hmm. With what's the premise? Like, they're all waking.
Frozen.
Yeah. I like how it's kind of like they're all kind of trapped like in this basement or something. and they're trying to figure out which one is from cryo. They're trying to figure out who's the bad person, pretty much very similar to what we just talked about with bodies. But
a bunch of frozen bodies.
Yeah. frozen bodies. Yeah, I was digging that too. I mean, looks extremely low budget, but it seemed like they did a decent job of pulling it together. But this is one where, you know, time will tell once you watch it to see if the actual plot and story can overcome, you know, it's a low budget, you know.
Deal.
Yep.
Hmm.
You pick, Ryan. What do you want to talk about?
I don't want to pick this one. You know what one I do want to pick is the official trailer for Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
I'll be honest, I didn't watch this one.
Well, then let me fill you in, Peter.
Okay.
This is the official trailer for Rescue Rangers. And
which trailer?
The official.
Oh, okay. Official number two?
No, the other one was a teaser, dum-dum.
Oh, I hate... That's so... Oh, that teaser showed a lot. I can this only imagine official. What the official one shows.
This one shows a lot more. It tells you a lot, a little bit. Okay, I'm upset about this trailer. It told me too much, and it showed me more footage.
You should have stopped. Should have stopped the teaser.
You know what? They didn't really promote this one, and I had to go out and be like, oh, when is this coming out? And then turns to find out, like, it's the end of May, and now I know more about this movie than I knew a month ago, and I didn't need to know that. I should have just watched it. So stop giving me trailers, Disney.
Yeah, the teaser did enough. I mean, it set up, you know, there's kind of a falling out between the Chip and Dale. Chip and Dale. And one got the CGI treatment. And it's a crazy Roger Rabbit type world. And they go on a adventure. That's all you need to know, right?
I think that's why they gave us another trailer, to really just shove it down our throats that this is like a Roger Rabbit style movie.
Yeah. But they showed too much, though.
Mm-hmm. Like more characters, you know, a little more interactions with Seth Rogen, stuff like that. So just release a movie. That's all I got to say.
I agree. It looks good.
So. It does look good. I'm excited.
Yeah. What about this one? Are you excited for a good morning?
The Alkaline Trio movie or song?
No. The official trailer teaser for
Wait, Machine what?
Gun Kelly.
There's teasers to... There. Wait, is it the official...
Teaser for the trailer. That's what it says.
Oh my gosh.
Official trailer teaser.
So there's a teaser for the official trailer.
Yep. So I guess we're going to get another one for this, which I'm not going to watch that because, like, this is Machine Gun Kelly, which I don't understand with the fascination for this guy. This, it does not look like it's acted very well at all. It looks terrible, but he plays some actor who I suppose is not very good at acting, and he loses his girlfriend and then gets high, and Megan Fox pops in for some reason. I don't know, and I don't really care.
I think this is just a Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly love fest.
It probably will be. I mean, I'm sure probably at the end it's, you know, him getting together with Megan Fox, right? It's just, like, is Machine Gun Kelly, right? He's a... I don't even know what he does. He does music, right?
Well, Peter, a brief history about Machine Gun Kelly. I think he's from Ohio. Okay. He came on the scene as a rapper. What was our hand signal last week?
Right, for two?
He was a rapper.
Yeah.
Rapper. And then he decided to do a diss rap to Eminem, and Eminem re-rapped his diss back to him, and now Machine Gun Kelly became a pop punk artist and started banging Megan Fox. So he lost to win, and now he's doing movies, and he was in The Dirt. So I don't know. It's just people getting roles, I guess. You know, I guess if you're friends with Pete Davidson, you got to get roles in things.
I get, and he's in it. Pete Davidson's in this. Like, there's a whole bunch of people, which, like, I guess people like him. I don't get it. I never met the guy, so I don't know.
I agree with you. I don't get it. And, like, Pete Davidson doesn't really excite me, dude.
I will admit, I don't know why. There's just something about Pete Davidson that I don't know why he makes me smile. It's weird.
It's his smile.
I get it's the way that he just performs. Like, he just seems like an everyday guy, kind of like just really kind of funny, goofy. Like, I could probably sit down and chill with him and have a good time. But Machine Gun Kelly, he just seems like a douche. I do not want to hang out with him.
Yeah. Pete Davidson is like the everyday guy. And let me add to that, that you would want to hang out and do drugs with.
Yeah. Get tattoos or remove them.
Or why not both?
Yeah, that's right. Let's get it and then remove it right afterwards.
I like your style. Peter, we got one last trailer. Did you watch this one?
I didn't finish it, but I mean, it's Natural Disaster with the Apocalypse. Did I pronounce that right?
No, because he never did.
Well, you need to put four horsemen, Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
Not right. Yeah, Apocalypse.
You know what's funny is as you're saying it, I'm trying to type it and I'm sitting there going, Apocalypse.
Yeah. Apocalypse.
I just realized the only reason I put. No, your way is the best way. Like,
okay, thanks.
Don't change for nobody, Peter. It's Apocalypse. Okay.
All right. Apocalypse.
Don't you ever change for anybody, okay?
All right. That's why I like saying the word now, because it's just a new way. That's how everyone should pronounce it now.
Apocalypse.
Yep.
I like it. Well, what'd you get out of it?
The apocalypse is happening? The like plagues are happening, and they're pulling together a team of scientists to figure out how to stop the four horsemen from coming. I don't know. Something like that. Stop natural disasters from happening.
Didn't the X-Men do this?
Yeah, go see X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, go watch X-Men Apocalypse, and I think we're good to go.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Yeah.
Or go see Geostorm. Or go see Day After Tomorrow.
Or go see San Andreas. Or The Mummy.
Sure. Sure, all those.
Or National Treasurer.
Treasurer.
I like that. It's like burglar.
But that's the Four Horsemen. I guess check it out if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I'll probably watch it because I do like disaster films.
Well,
especially poorly made ones, too.
Peter's forte is poorly made disaster films.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I love, you know, one of my favorite things is watching people like when like earthquakes are supposed to happen. And this is even in Ghostbusters too. Think of the very end of Ghostbusters where like the whole building is supposed to be shaking and you just watch the guys because they're supposed to mime like they're like having in an earthquake. It's always the worst acting ever. Like, cause you just can't do it. You cannot do a good, oh shit, the building's shaking. Like, cause you're just kind of bouncing around all weird and nothing's moving. Like, it's not natural. So
I watched a movie that was very similar to that.
It happens all the time.
Second Opinion. That's what's coming up. Oh, Peter.
Yeah, Ryan.
I spelled something wrong. Anyway, but hey, what are you drinking over there?
Modelo.
Oh, that's cool.
News! What you drinking there?
Sorry, Peter. I just again. Actually, you know what? I'm not sorry. I'm gonna do it.
You put all this news here, so why don't you go ahead and run through this stuff? Because I'm just kind of briefly looking at it. I'm like, is that really news? This is more just like an update for the first one.
Well, Peter, isn't news an update?
Oh, update news.
Is it that why you watch the news, to be updated on what's going on?
Well, okay. Maybe update's not the right word. It's more of, hey, this is still happening. Like, is that necessary? Like, were people like, Ryan, it says here Star Wars Rogue Squadron is still coming in 2023, according to Disney. I mean, again, is this news? Was there ever in question that this wasn't going to happen? Did I miss something?
Yes. There was it was on indefinite hiatus. So it is news that is still
I hate that word. That is the dumbest word ever, because like this happens in football all the time. We're like, oh man, this guy's out indefinitely. What do you think when you hear that?
He's done for the season forever.
Yeah, forever. And then he's back, like he's like back the next game. I'm like, so he was just out indefinitely for that game. Like, it's, I hate that word. It's dumb.
I agree with you. It's kind of a, it's open to interpretation at this point. It's like, well, what does that mean? Like, you're right, in sports, Jamal Murray, it's like, hey, what is out for indefinite hiatus? What, like, he could come back? When does he come back?
Yeah, well, hiatus, I get that, but just out indefinitely, like, no, like, you're just using that as he's out until further notice. Like, that's what they're saying, but I don't think that's the correct word, unless I'm wrong with that definition.
Well, buddy, you know, the other one is our other co-host. He's on indefinite hiatus right now.
Yes, it's true. We don't know what's happening.
Oh, all right, Peter. Well, that was just my little Star Wars update. I'm liking some Star Wars updates.
I will. So, I guess I'm wrong with the word. It is true that it means, it's an adjective, by the way. It's lasting for an unknown or unstated length of time. So they are using it right, but I don't like it. I still don't like it.
And that's okay. I don't like it either, because it doesn't bridge the gap of my closure that I need.
Makes sense. When I hear definite, that just means like it's set in stone. Like that's what I think of that. And if you just, because you add an indefinite, that just means it's, oh, that does make sense. It's the opposite.
I wish I could play The More You Know right now.
I know. The More You Know.
All right. This is news that's going on right now. And it's just going to be Jack Sparrow is in court right now.
Against Queen Aquaman.
Yeah, Queen Mara.
Mm,
You know, just to make this theatric better, they should have had them in full costume. I would have loved to have seen.
Well, I mean, if you. But you look at Johnny Depp, man, he is like almost in costume. That guy wears some interesting stuff. Like, it's just a modern day Jack Sparrow right there with what he's wearing. There's like tons of jewelry. Like, I think there's even one where you like feathers hanging out of his ears. I don't know. Guy's interesting.
I mean, he definitely has a style.
He sure does. Absolutely has a style. So
he's almost in costume. Maybe that's why he's winning this court case.
I do feel like he is winning. I agree with you. I just see all the headers for it. I have not actually dug into it, but the whole thing just seems like a joke. And then I see more and more stuff about like Amber Heard's like lawyer like is just like biffing it hard. So
yeah, that it's, there's a serious thing going on right now. Both these two people are guilty of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. And shitting the bed.
And the lawyer or Amber Heard?
Hey-oh! Amber Heard, apparently. Yeah, both really. Do you think this is going to end well for either one of them? Like Johnny Depp is saying like his career is ruined because of this. Like if he wins this, is he just automatically back like into like blockbuster movies?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think he's good to go.
I'm not so sure, because it's, you know, it's, you have like, all right, whatever the court, you know, the, you know, rules, and then you just have public opinion on it. And I guess no matter how I felt, I really did not give a shit. And the fact that it's going this far is just kind of ridiculous. And this is just some, like, I feel like I don't know why this is blown out so much, and like they're treating it almost like, I mean, this is publicity for them. Like I heard like Amber Heard shows up and signs autograph before going to the courtroom. Like what the fuck? Like this is just such a, this is their show. Like they're like, hey, you know what we should do? Amber's like, I'm going to shit the bed, pretend that you hit me. And then they're going to say that, you know, all this bad shit
on you.
Yeah. And then we should go to court. Accusations are
the weird part, dude.
Oh yeah.
It's not like, it's not a serious domestic violence. Oh, I'm going to eat my words saying that. The events that have happened in this are borderline comical. Like they're putting cigarettes out on each other. They're throwing glass vodka bottles and cutting their appendages off. They're shit in the bed. They're like dehumanizing each other and laughing about it on a public stage in court.
Yeah, they had a bad relationship. I mean, get over it. Like, and the fact that they're live streaming this, like, over, like, I was just going through YouTube like today. I'm like, oh, you can watch the actual court hearing, you know, like see it in like, you know, real time. And I almost clicked on it, but I was like, no, I should probably work and not get sucked into this.
Oh, I've been sucked into it, and it's amazing. Yeah. I love the the best thing about this is we're getting quality memes out of this. And that's what the internet's all about, is really good quality memes.
It's true. Is there anything that you in particular want to bring up with this?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. I just, it's fun. It's hilarious. I'm sure there's probably gonna be more coming, and I'm definitely going to watch that clip of Johnny Depp talking about the time Amber Heard shit the bed. So I can't wait for that part.
I can't wait for the Netflix special on this one.
They just need, you know what they needed to do is get Topher Grace to make his edit of it in all the great parts. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Topher Grace needs to redo all these.
I'm sure he's on it.
Peter, I'll make this one quick. Let's see. Avatar has a title called The Way of Water. The big news out of this, because I don't give a fuck about Avatar, is there's a thing called CinemaCon. How come I'm not aware of this, and how come we're not at it?
Oh, yeah. A whole bunch of news has come out from that. I mean, yeah. Okay, when I say news, it's more like
an update.
Yeah. State updates. Or it's more like people there have seen
updates.
They've seen updates on the films coming out soon. And I'm like I heard like Spider-Man, no, Into the Spider-Verse. Or Across the Spider-Verse, that one. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, like, they showed the first 15 minutes of it, and they said everyone's going to be, like, thrilled by it. So, like, that's what I've been hearing. People have been seeing new footage from CinemaCon on all these, like, new movies coming out soon or in, you know, in the next year or so. And that's pretty much it. Like, there's, like, new footage for, like, The Flash. But, I don't know. I guess, cool, Avatar has a... It's subtitle now, which I gotta tell you, I'm not excited about that. So,
I don't know who greenlit these. Oh, it's the millions of people that went to go watch the first one. First one sucked.
I know that, dude. Talk about in rewatchable films,
right?
I can't do that one.
That comes on, and the first thing I do is change the channel.
Yep.
Because I have no interest in the story, and the only reason I went to go see it was because it was in 3D.
And the 3D was really amazing. I will give them that.
I agree.
Are these new ones 3D? That'd be hilarious if they went away from the 3D.
Yeah, like trying to make this movie based off plot.
Yeah. And I hope somehow it just flops so hard, and they're like, shit! We signed on for 10 more of these.
And somehow you see.
Did they already kind of shoot some? Like back to back?
They did the Fast and Furious treatment.
Okay, so there's at least two more of these, right? There's like the second one and the third one coming out.
Yeah, just like, dude, I'm sorry. That was the piece of news I wanted to talk about. Because you brought it up. But next one. Fast X director stops in. What's his name? Justin Lin?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? They just announced that they're starting production. I bet this movie sucks.
Dude, I still haven't watched the last one. I kind of forgot about it. So,
well, that's a
I don't know.
Pandemic movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, they waited until last year, right? They held on to it. They waited. They thought they're going to hold on to that shit and make tons of money. And I'm sure they kind of did. But I like Justin Lin as a director. I thought he did a great job. I think he really changed that, turned that franchise around. And you know, him leaving or stepping away, like, I mean, he's still gonna be a producer, but I'm kind of curious why that is. They could spell trouble.
I think Vin Diesel's kind of hard to work with, to be honest with you.
I hear you, but dude, I don't know. You think it's just like he's gotten worse and worse over the years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because Fast and Furious is his baby. That's like really all he's got.
Well,
other than that, he's Groot.
Yeah, he has a few things like he's really holding on to that, like, oh man, these are the most amazing series or franchise ever. Like, didn't he want, he wanted to do like the last, like, do another, like, The Last Witch Hunter or some shit like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to do another Chronicles of Riddick, and he wanted to do another Bloodsport, you know, like, no, not Bloodshot. Like,
oh, Bloodshot was terrible.
Yeah, but I would watch another one. So he does get me, but he holds himself, like, you know, Ryan, like way up here.
Oh, on the scale of.
Yeah, and he's probably way down here. Like, his movies suck, but for whatever reason, he thinks they're fucking amazing. So they're way up here.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I like our scale.
Yeah.
This is the new scale. I love it. I'm going to throw this in real quick. Lady Gaga's trying to capitalize on Top Gun. I was waiting for what song they were going to use as like the bromance song. You know how like there was Kenny Loggins, and then there was like that love song that he did in there. And this is one of those movies that's really tugging on those 80s heartstrings. It's like you got to have the 80s references, the references to the original, and then the like 80s ballad that you'll remember for the rest of your life. So do you think like Lady Gaga might be able to handle that? And why is she not in the movie hooking up with Tom Cruise and flying jet fighters?
That's a good question. Wouldn't it be fantastic though if she like kind of makes an appearance singing her song just in the background?
Just in the background, just her and Bradley Cooper just singing a song together. You're like, why are you guys in it?
Looking great. Just make a music video in the middle of the movie, which I do have to say, I'm super excited for this new Top Gun movie.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, I will say, like, I think this is one of those movies I think is going to definitely warrant going out to the movie theater because of the fact that, like, the sound, you know, I want that shit vibrating my seat. Yes, I want to, like, feel like I'm flying in a jet, you know? So
what you're saying is you need to get front row IMAX tickets.
Yeah. Or go to that 4D thing, you know, so that they sweat on you.
So they blast just sweat and it's water effects. No, it's not. That's just been condensation just sitting underneath the theater for a long time.
Yeah. So Ryan, what are you drinking?
Oh, what am I drinking? Yeah. Well, we're going to do this.
That was my segue.
But I'm
drinking, how do you Peter. Support us? Why are you drinking?
Well, we're drinking. How do you support us? You listen to us, you watch us, and you talk about us, and you talk with us. We're very active on the social medias. We've been doing pretty good on Twitter lately. And
I did send out a post today.
I saw that.
And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. But you gotta do more of this, guys, so that you can support our drinking habit.
Exactly. And it's not even a bad drinking habit. It's like a good, fun, sexy drinking habit.
Yeah.
It's not that really dark, depressing one. It's a good one.
It helps the show move along.
And, you know, buy shirts and basketball jerseys. Oh, wait. We should have a basketball jersey.
Oh, that would be sweet.
I hear you. Like a Toon Squad one. I like that.
That's cool.
Subscribe, follow B-Movies Beyond YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the good stuff. Interact with us. Tell us your favorite movie. Tell us what movie you can't ever watch again. You know, give me statistics on Nicolas Cage movies. I don't care. Just talk to me. And I'll talk back.
Ryan really does. He loves to talk to people.
Absolutely. Oh, so, did you hear that?
I heard it restart. We're done.
We're done. I love quick ad music.
That's great.
So
what are you drinking?
I'm drinking, this is an old fashioned that I made myself.
Ooh, how is it?
I do a good job at them, so it's good.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's what, you know, like, I'm very picky with my old fashioned, so I'd love for you to make me one of these days.
I will totally do that, and I highly recommend it.
Yes! Oh! Oh! Oh, God.
Oh. It's a great transition.
I'll have what she's having.
Still going.
Oh, yeah. So this would be a kind of slightly different segment, but it still kind of works because what we did here is we watch each other's movies. The movies that we reviewed. Yeah, actually, there's two movies that we reviewed on episode 275. Yeah, jeez. Trying to take away some of our episodes. Where Ryan reviewed X and I reviewed The Bubble. And Ryan wasn't, yours really wasn't a recommendation. You did not really tell me to go see X, but you wanted to hear my thoughts on it. And I'm going to give them to you right now.
I like it.
Are you okay? You ready?
I am totally ready. I just got to fix the word horror.
Horror porno. So I watched this late at night.
As you should.
Yes.
This isn't like a breakfast movie.
No, with a baby in my arms, which probably should not have been doing, but you know.
She won't know.
That's true. She had no idea. And there was definitely parts where I was like, ugh, this is gross. And that's kind of how I think I described this film, is that it's not like over the top. It's not what I was really hoping for this film. But I still enjoyed it. Your review that like it was very predictable and like you saw everything coming, like yes and no, I would say to that. But I thought it was different enough, and the way that it was shot, that's what set it apart. Like there was moments where there was the brutality of some of, like, at least one of the kills in that I'm thinking in particular, that I was like, that stood out to me because of how it was shot and kind of the
emotion behind
it. Okay, the one in front of the car, the van.
Okay.
And then they show it where basically the guy's like his, you know, she stabbed him so many times that like his neck is almost off, like almost decapitated.
Apocalypse.
Yeah. where like that was one that stood out. There was, and then from there, I would say it was probably a mixture of like, oh, that was kind of cool. And oh yeah, that was predictable. And then that one was lackluster. What I found, and this point, there's a lot of just moments that I really enjoyed about this film because they talked about some interesting stuff, like the whole love aspect, but I don't feel like Ty West quite hit it, because you had this whole dynamic with the old married couple and the feelings of love, and then also almost not being in physical touch and not being able to do that. And they go down that road, which sets off like these changes of events where bad things happen. But then there's also these weird elements of like religion that I didn't quite follow with it. And so that was the part that I was like, oh man, I wish that was fleshed out a little bit more, because I love the love aspect, especially with the old lady and like how she was feeling. I like that side of it.
She craved it.
How she craved it and she couldn't have it, and how she was feeling and how it would drive her to the points that it drove her to.
Okay, to add to that, Peter, that was portrayed throughout their entire relationship. She loved him so much, but he wasn't able to fulfill any of the love aspect in terms of physical and all that.
That was disgusting. And so those were the parts where I'm like,
disgusted.
Like, that was the part where I'm like, seriously, like, like it turned into, you know, it, like you were just doing it. I would love to talk to him and know why he did it that way. And like, it was unsettling, you know, but at the same time, it was also like, shit, one day I'm going to be old. And I'm sure I'm probably going to want to do this. You'll know when you watch the film. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gross to think about, right? It's really gross to think about.
But when you're at that age and you finally get that release, you're like, all right, that was worth it.
Exactly. And I also just loved how it ended with just the, you know, just it was chaotic, and I liked the chaos of it. Now what I'll say, what you talked about in your review is the makeup of the old people. You're 100% right. Like that, I did not like that. I wish they actually had some older people that were performing. Thank you. The makeup took you out of it, where it was less believable. And it was just so, you just totally tell. But I, you know, the parts where I asked you in your review is like, did they do things to keep you captivated? Things that they're like a little bit unsettling, and you said no, and that's the part I disagree. I think he did actually some things, like they weren't like super over the top, but there was enough stuff that was like, okay, I'm interested. I want to see what happens. You know, there was enough of the spook factor to keep me invested. But this is definitely, it's, you know, I think I saw something like this is like the best like horror film of 2022. And I mean, it's the only horror film I can think of for 2022. So don't go off of that.
Dude, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was better than this.
Oh, I need to. Did that come? Yeah, that did come out this year.
Yeah. I like it, Peter, because you know what? You saw things I didn't see and you reaffirmed things. The old people makeup. Dude, Hollywood needs to figure that out. Like, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I don't think it works for anybody. I don't know how Jackass sells these fake stunts with this old Johnny Knoxville. Like, he just looks fake, you know?
Absolutely.
So. And in this movie, listen, Jeremy and I were watching the trailers before the Nick Cage movie, and there's a Downton Abbey movie coming out. And I literally looked at one of the actresses, Maggie Smith. She's 87 years old. And I was like, dude, she's old as dirt. And I thought she was dead. And Jeremy's like, nope, she's just been old our entire life. Yes. And I started laughing. I was like, you're absolutely right, because she was in Harry Potter and I'm pretty sure she was in Miss Doubtfire. And I thought about that. That's 30 years. 80, 70, 50. So when she was 57, she still looked old. Find people who still look old.
That's the thing. Don't find someone who's 20 something years old and try and make her look old. Find someone who looks old. There's plenty of old looking people who will do things for money.
Absolutely. And that's where I know why they probably went that route. I was like, all right, we can get these actors to do the things that we want them to do, probably where old people wouldn't want to do. And they also have the stamina to do everything.
But to add to that, Peter, it was the same actors as the main character. So I could understand where the director was going with the dichotomy of the old lady versus the young lady and how they were connected. So
wait, what was that?
The old lady was the main actress.
What? Really?
Yeah. Did it catch up?
No, but there was a point where I was watching this. Is like, I feel like this is... Because there's also the young versus the old aspect of it.
Did I just blow your mind on this movie? Well,
the fact they did that, because... All right, well, now I have a new appreciation for this, because what about the old man? Is he someone of the characters too?
No. So Mia Goth is Maxine Minx, the main porn star, the main actress, and she is Pearl. However, the old guy, I forgot his name. I want to say it was Howard, right? Totally different guy, but she plays both the same characters, right?
Okay.
She's the one in... conflict with her character as being the young aspiring actress who has everything as a young adult film star versus Pearl, who wants all of that. Okay. Do you see this? My hand motions?
I yes. Very good. Well, now I, like I said, now I, as much as I don't like it, I get it now, at least for that portion of it, because I felt like they're very similar. Yeah, very similar. They're almost like this. and now you point that out, like that solidifies it. Like that is I like that now. I wish they did a better job with it, with the makeup, but
I wish they did a better job, because watching this movie, me not knowing that, I'm disinterested, but learning that after watching the movie and doing the research I did afterwards, I was like, that's actually kind of cool. They should have just did a better job with it.
Yeah. But that's just something where, like, I think that's Ty West being like, these are the same people at different points in their lives where, like, this is your future almost, you know, basically, and him playing with the audience by like, it's the same person. And makeup, you know, I think that's very clever. But I just wish, again, makeup need to be better. So, it's worth a watch. And, especially if you're into those indie type films where, I love just the dynamics that makes you think about love, you know, especially when you get older, in my opinion. So
I like it.
Ryan, you watched The Bubble that I recommended. Did you enjoy it as much as I did?
Can I tell you something, Peter?
Uh-huh.
I watched this movie in one take.
That's got to be pretty good.
Right after podcasting.
Wow.
Yeah, like we finished at 9-ish, whatever, and I watched this entire movie, and this is a good movie. And what's good about it is... I was waiting for one of these pandemic style movies and nothing. And we got a couple, like the other one was the one with Zoe Kravitz where she was listening to the Amazon recordings.
Oh, Kimmy, right?
Kimmy. Yes. Yeah. And that was a good movie. However, this is what I wanted to see from a pandemic style movie, mocking the events of our idiocracy of handling the pandemic. And this movie encompassed everything that I wanted to see out of it. So it was gathering all these big name actors trying to make a sequel, Fast and Furious, making this franchise movie series, previous actors coming back, all the above, like the entire story, like just trying to get everybody together. And the events that happened, it was almost like Parks and Recs or Community or one of those satire TV shows where you saw the work lifestyle of these people. This was the life of these movie stars during a pandemic, during a saga or a franchise. And this is what happens when you get multiple A-listers all together with a brilliant dude. Judd Apatow just pumps out gold. I love his movies. If you never told me this was a Judd Apatow movie and I never saw it, I would watch this. I'd be like, this is Judd Apatow. And yeah. It just, the creative chaos that continues throughout this movie is just, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But it's not, you're so engaged in what's going on. I mean, when Leslie Mann, like she, her character just like escalates like crazy until.
Yeah, like this?
Yeah, yeah. Just doing this until this is gone, you know?
Yeah.
And when that happened, and it was just like her way to exit, and then they just, the production team was like, oh, we'll figure it out. It's fine. You know, they just wrote her off. It was just, what?
Which, I mean, you see that kind of happen in Hollywood.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah, sure. Fast and Furious. You know, I'm just, when those unexpected things happen and people are no longer with us, you know, those things just happen. And I liked how they brought it in, especially just with the chaos of the pandemic, like that satire of you know, that it's what I needed. I liked, I just love those aspects of the whole pandemic. Like every single, anything that was related to that, I was just dying because it is, there's silliness to it. You know, it's also some of the stuff. It reminded me like SNL, man. When they do like COVID stuff on SNL, it's just pretty funny because it's, I think we're ready to laugh about it. Right.
I was ready to laugh about it. So Peter, I agree with you. This is a movie that is under the radar right now. And honestly, dude, I think this should have got a theatrical release.
Oh, yeah, and, dude, I think it would have killed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sad to see that a movie like this won't make it that way. And the other one I'm going to say is Chip and Dale. I think that should get a theatrical release
too. I agree. I think that one could have probably done very well as I from what the trailer looks like. So I'm with you.
I like this, Peter. I like this whole second chance of a review. We should do this every once in a while.
Yeah, me too. But I'm ready to get into some Nicolas Cage. Reviews.
Reviews. Oh man! All right. Oh, I closed my notes.
Oh man! Are you? I want you to go first.
I know. Holy crap, dude. Okay, I'll go first. 100%. Let me just kind of add this in there. So, Let me ask you. Let me set the stage real quick. As a thespian, as someone who is part of the arts and part of the media, like, is there anything that you've been more excited about this year in terms of movie and media?
So for this year so far?
Yeah.
Shit. I forgot a trailer that we missed. Thor, Love and Thunder. That was a big one.
We could talk about Thor, Love and Thunder if you want.
Well, you know, you're asking me what am I excited for, and like, that's one of the movies I'm super stoked about. I am excited about for Doctor Strange. But I know what you're getting at is for this movie with Nicolas Cage, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Like, I feel like this movie is getting a lot of traction, and I feel like at the time, like when we first saw the first trailer or first heard about this concept, you know, we're like, oh, this is just going to be one of those movies that will come and go and, you know, probably get its cult following, you know, on streaming somewhere. But then like it was supposed to come out in February. Doesn't happen. goes to like festivals. I hear like it does very well in the festivals, and now it's coming out in April, like now, and getting like this huge release. Like, it seems like, I haven't seen it, that this movie is fucking tastic. Two fucks.
This movie is fucking fucktastic, is what it is. That's the best way to put it. Dude, Peter, I haven't been more excited. I've been doing this thing where I don't go to movies with high expectations. And I went into this movie with high expectations. However, I think I sent it in a text message the other day. Basically, someone asked me, like, do you hope it's good? And I said, no, I hope it's bad. And they're like, haha, why? And I said, because bad Nick Cage movies exceed my expectations better than good Nick Cage movies.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you something. This is a good Nicolas Cage movie that exceeded my expectations.
Nice.
Dude, it's everything that we've read about Nicolas Cage. It's his lifestyle. He is self-aware in this movie. He's aware that he's a bad father. He's aware that he's a failing actor. He's aware of his shitty spending habits. He's aware of striving for work and craving being a thespian. It absolutely starts off that way. That's mm-hmm. Nicolas Cage. So you get this guy. Sorry, my glasses are a little glary in there. But that's exactly how it starts. And here he is. He wants this massive role, but then he decides not to take any of these small gigs, you know? And one of these small gigs is basically him going to a birthday party. However, the underlying issue behind the birthday party is the superfan wrote a script for him where he asked him to read it, but nobody gave him the script. And this is where shit hits the fan in this movie. So, okay, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it. Because I know this is a movie you want to watch, and this is something you want to watch, like, fairly soon. Nicolas Cage talks to old Nicolas Cage. He talks to Nikki from Vampire's Kiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his alter ego. He has an alter ego in this movie, and that's his alter ego. Dude, it's so funny. There's certain scenes where he's talking to himself, and then he pans over, and it's him with a deep fake over like this long-haired younger version of himself, like talking himself up, dude.
Holy crap, that's awesome.
And I think they set it up in a way where that young, like, pump you up Nikki is his drunk alter ego, kind of like his Brian Bromero. And that's his, like, and throughout the movie, this character just pops in and out just to pump up Nick Cage. But dude, this movie it starts off with referencing his old movies, him referencing his movies, him being egotistic. Like, everything about this movie is just full. It's like the Deadpool of Nicolas Cage movies. And Nicolas Cage is not the star in this movie, dude.
Really?
My favorite space Mexican is.
Like he's really the lead? Like, it's him that steals
Pedro
the show?
Pedro Pascal is the next Nick Cage. And I think they're passing the torch. And I really hope he takes this, because he's gotten some high point movies going up. And then I want him to be this B-list, C-list, and D-list actor for the rest of my life. I want Pedro Pascal to be my future Nick Cage.
I can see that. I mean, like, Pedro Pascal was in The Bubble. Didn't you love his character in it?
He was fantastic in The Bubble.
Yeah.
I love how he went up to the counter and was like, hey, do you want to have sex with me? And she's like, yes, but no. You know, and he's like, why not?
And then she makes it all weird. Yeah. I love the music or the TikToks that he was saying at the end.
Dude, that TikTok scene was fantastic. Bubble.
But we're talking about Nicolas. I mean, I know what you're saying, though. I think Pedro Pascal, though, I think he's just one of those guys where he's just a fun, it seems like a fun dude, you know? He is he can do the serious stuff, you know, like the Mandalorian, but he's not afraid to, like, he doesn't take himself like too seriously, where he can go and do this kind of stuff, like the bubble Nicholas and Cage. Yeah. And so I love that, and you know, I'm excited to see where what he does next, but that's good to hear, you know, that he kind of stole the show. Or like, I mean, did they have a really good dynamic back and forth, Nicolas Cage and him?
What's really cool about that, great question, is their dynamic was not only fantastic throughout the movie from a viewer, but between the two learning each other from Nicolas Cage and his super fan, their dynamic grew that exponentially right away. Like, it was just
nice.
It was such a cool, it was a cool vibe between Pedro Pascal and Nicolas Cage, someone who wanted to meet his idol and his idol who didn't give a fuck, and they just kind of went together. I had a couple theories on this movie, and what I'll say about this, Peter, is 100% recommend it. Go watch it as soon as you can and find your theories on this, because I have two of them on there, and I continue to wrap my brain around it. Because if you really want to dive into what this movie is about, it's about Nicolas Cage finding his next big thing. And he hasn't really had it in a while, but this movie is about fourth wall, and I think he's broken the fourth wall, and I think he found his next big thing as a thespian, as a producer, and as a character in his own movie. So I encourage everybody to go watch this so Nicolas Cage can get right back up to A status and make Face Off 2, or make a sequel to this one, which would probably be Face Off 2.
I feel like he could do that anyways right now, man. Like, I guess maybe you think he's not an A-lister. Like, I don't know if that's
he owns it in this movie. He totally owns that he's not an A-lister. And
I guess,
I mean, how far do you want me to go with this, Peter?
No, well, I guess I'm just, it's just more of the actual realistic answer is, like, do you think he's an A-lister or not? Do you think is he B now? Like, where is he? But, like, because I know he takes like every
single movie. What do you mean now? He's been a B actor for like 5, 6, 7, 10 years by now.
Has it been that? I guess 97, that was the good year for him, right? That was like
no, National Treasure. National Treasure was his last good movie. Last A-list movie, not last good movie. Last good movie was this one, but before that, it was Mandy. And they make a fucking reference to Mandy right away, dude.
That's awesome.
So
here's the thing. I don't know. I don't think this is going to change Nicolas Cage's career at all. But I think so. You think so? I feel like it's going to give him just...
Dude, you know, it has an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Yeah, but dude, he's done some other like indie stuff where he's phenomenal in it. And like, if you go watch,
and they address it
exactly, like he does really good work. But that's why I don't see him doing anything else. Is because here's the thing: it's so funny is that like he says like he's not like this character, but in a sense, like I do believe he is kind of like this. Like, even though I haven't fully seen this movie, I do believe Nicolas Cage is so eccentric that I don't think he's ever going to get back up to the A talent where he's going to pull in this big old crowd. But I do believe he's going to have some great work ahead of him where he's going to do some amazing performances, but he's also going to mix it in with all these shitty ones. So that's just who he is, man. Like, he goes ball to the wall with every single performance.
You're going to love this movie because everything you just said is what this movie is about.
I know. And that's Nicolas Cage, man. It's Nicolas Cage to the T. Even he doesn't even want to believe it because he's like, they're like, no, you got to go full on Cage. And he's like, but that's not me. Like, he's saying it's not him. Like, I don't think Nicolas Cage fully knows who he is, which I gotta say,
I think he does, and I think he finally he's pulling the Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds knows who he is right now in Hollywood, and he Nicolas Cage understands if he does the Ryan Reynolds approach, he will be a star again.
See, I disagree. I disagree. Mm. I think Nicolas Cage has such a different view on who he is in the world. Like, I think he knows he's not like the draw that he once was. I think the stuff that he says in this movie is accurate, but that doesn't matter to Nicolas Cage just because it's all about being a thespian. That's what he cares about. And so it doesn't matter if he's doing it for these low budget films, as long as he gets to do what he wants to do, that's what he wants. And I think these things that he does it's very odd. Like, I gotta go back to the whole, go find some of these YouTube videos where he's promoting this film. And it seems to me like even like he's just such a eccentric person. It cracks me up and how he's not on social media, but he goes on. Like, that's my favorite one. It's from Variety. Nicolas Cage does social. I think it's what it's called on YouTube or something.
Oh, he did the Reddit. Okay. Dude, his Ask Me Anything on Reddit, can I tell you the best response on there was, hey, Mr. Travolta, how has it been in Nick Cage's skin all these years making all these shitty movies? And that was the top-rated comment, which Nicolas Cage responded to.
Yeah, but it was a nice thing like that he wrote. Yeah. I saw that because it was filmed, but...
So,
like, dude, he's just such an interesting guy, and... I don't foresee him, you know, back to the A-list category like that you do, Ryan. Oh, but we'll find out. We'll take that bet.
You know why I know he will? Because he said what you just said in a few lines. He said, "We're back, baby," with Neil Patrick Harris. He goes, "We're back, baby." Neil Patrick Harris said that. And then Nick Cage goes, and this was said multiple times throughout the movie, "But it's not like we went anywhere."
So that's what I'm saying. He didn't go anywhere. It's still the same guy.
He knows he has to continue to reinvent himself and come back and make Nick Cage come back, but he never went anywhere. So he's always just gonna up himself. So
Well, I can't wait to see this film, and it's just I'm glad to hear that it's everything that we hoped it would be, it seems like. So, I can't wait. I watched... This is kind of probably going the opposite direction. Have you seen the new Scream?
Yeah. I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah.
So...
All right. Hold on. I'm curious now. Wait, is this going to be another second opinion?
Did you review it already?
Yeah, I think I did, actually.
Jeez. Well, then I guess it is.
Hold on, let me play the sound.
Yeah. Did you really?
I mean, mm-hmm.
Have you seen all the Screams?
No, I haven't. That's actually a good...
Okay.
That's a good point. Hold on, Peter. Let's just kind of, as you're thinking.
Yes. Oh. Oh. Right back.
Oh, God. Oh. I'll have what she's having.
Even though
I didn't even know. Hey, you know what, dude? I don't even care. Let's do it. Because Huey from The Boys is in this movie, and I'm good with it.
Yeah. That was weird. I gotta say, like, I don't know. It was weird having him in the film. I wish it was someone else, to be honest. But Jack Quaid, I am a fan of yours. I just wish you were recasting this film.
Dude, I didn't realize that's Dennis Quaid's son.
Yes. I just think, Jack Quaid, you should stick to The Boys. I love you and The Boys. So, so this Scream, what did, okay, you're gonna have to help me with this because I'm doing this last minute and I'm also very tired and didn't fully, I can't fully form a thought really. Mm-hmm. And what did they call this in the movie? Like, what type of movie is this? This is like, it's a sequel, but it's also like a reboot, right? Do you remember what the lady, the girl called it?
Oh, because the movie series was what, Slasher?
Well, no, Stab is Stab. What the movies were called. But they always, you know how, like, when you watch all the movies, this is what I loved about the Scream movies. And they
Requel.
Do it. In,
Requel.
A requel, yes, yes. So it's a sequel, but it's a reboot, basically.
Requel, I like Requel.
Yeah, And that's what's so great about it. And that's what was so great about all the Scream movies is that it's a self-aware movie. It knows exactly what it's doing. And it tells you about all the like tropes for like, all right, this is what happens in a sequel. Or this is what happens in a slasher film. And now they got to the point where it's has it really been like 20 years since the last Scream 3 or whatever? Or yeah, Scream 4. Scream 4. And so they're like, they're doing a sequel, but they're basically, you know, bringing all new characters. So they're setting it up with all these new characters that are going to take the place of like who fucking Jamie Kennedy was, Neve Campbell. Right. But they also have all those original characters minus Jamie Kennedy because he died in number 2 or 3. I can't remember. And so they play all their parts, and this is, dude, it's a straight up remake of Scream.
It's a requel. It's a requel.
It is. It is. But it's totally like I think what I was hoping for is like, okay, like I wanted to see something different, and like there was moments where like, oh man, they did a really good job, like with a ghost face and like some of the kills, especially when they interacted with some of the original cast, that I was like, oh, that's fantastic. But then I, for me personally, I felt like it never got to the point where it was for the first Scream. And that's the issue with all the follow-up Screams is that it can never surpass that. Dude, that first Scream movie is fantastic, and none of the previous movies can get past it. They're all stuck down here where Scream mm-hmm. is up here. So and this one, I just felt like they just took it and just added the new characters. It's basically like The Force Awakens, you know. They took a cookie cutter version of Scream.
That's a requel.
Yeah, and they made a requel. Yes, exactly. That's Force Awakens.
Oh my gosh, I've never thought about that, but yeah. Force Awakens is a requel.
Exactly. They just added new characters to it. But the plot, everything is still the same. They just had to explain where these characters came from and how they interact or how they're connected to the original characters. Like, that was the whole point of this movie. And I'll be totally honest with you, is I fell asleep through this.
I mean, no qualms. I mean, I had to watch this 3 times.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like it's Scream. It does what Scream does.
Mm-hmm.
But it what I'll tell you is just go watch the original Scream. That's what you should do. Don't watch this one, even though I know this.
You know.
Yeah, like this one's like successful, but honestly, watching it at home, I was just like, maybe I needed to be in a movie theater, but I was just like, okay, I know the gimmick, I know what's gonna happen. You know, this is kind of like what you're saying with like X, is that, you know, it was kind of predictable.
But they're aware that it's predictable.
I know, and that's what's, again, that's the gimmick of it, and that's what I like about Scream movies. But I don't know why this one didn't get me like the other ones did. Like I will say, like pretty much from each scream on, like, it just gets worse and worse and worse, but they still have fun with it. And I wish they were to the point where they really just went off the walls and made it really ridiculous. And I think they almost kind of did that, because I fell asleep probably at the end of the movie where, again, it's just the retelling of the first movie where they go to a house where there was, you know, kind of a house party. And I fell asleep through that where they're, you know, bringing out the, you know, who did it. And I woke up in the middle of that. I'm like, huh, that makes sense. And then I finished the movie.
That's kind of why I'm excited about a movie like Bodies, 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 because it's the same Scream format, just stylized differently. We're getting something that we probably know is the same fucking thing. However, it has a different style. It's not the same rinse and repeat of anything.
Is that, else. Yeah, exactly. It's not the, like, the gimmick of Scream where you have a ghost face and he's running or you know, he, she, whoever, them, is running around. You know,
they're pronounced people. As thespians.
Or thespians running around. Yeah. You know, it just, yeah. So I just, this is one of those movies where I think I was really excited to see it. And after watching it, I was disappointed. And my prediction for the future is that I think they already greenlit another one. And I think it will be just like the other Screams where it's going to start petering out. It's not going to do as well as this one, because I think people were like, yeah, that was kind of fun. And, you know, I'm done with it now again for another 20 years.
Well, 20 years later, we'll be 50 something. So I'll catch mm-hmm. you on the next one.
Yep. We'll review it here.
On the podcast, probably called B Movies and Beyond the Requel.
We'll be, yes, absolutely. We'll be so beyond then.
It'll just be beyond the movies and beyond of beyonds.
All the beyonds. Yeah, so you can, it's on Paramount Plus right now. So if you want to stream that, that's where I watched it. So, Ryan,
what?
It's been fun, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Oh, you just shut it down. It's been a real good time, Ryan, and we will catch you next time. And until then, beyond it up!
Beyond it up, Peter! Always a good time. Watch all these requels. We're going to requel the shit out of our future episodes.